The first reading is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and apostle. That's Paul. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles.
The second reading is taken from John 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, but a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Last Saturday, my daughters, Amy and Emily, took me out for a lovely cup of tea and a walk around Beth Chateau. It was for my birthday. And I love gardens, and I also love tea and cake, it has to be said. So we were just wandering around, beautiful garden, and there was this couple, very much in love with one another, and he had a little baby papoose, and inside the papoose was a tiny, not quite newborn, little boy. The father was so proud. The father was so protective. The father was so just loving that little child. Could not take his eyes off of this little child. And when we got to the little gift shop after our cup of tea, there they were again. Well, he was happy to tell us all about his little son, all about his name, and how old he was, and just a little bit about their lives together. And I thought, the words came to me, how great the Father's love for you. How abundant and how evident and unmistakable was that love which was demonstrated by this young man. So today, it is the last time I'm going to be preaching in Mark's Tay. It's actually the last time I'm going to be present at church in Mark's Tay, unless, of course, God has plans to bring me back here and there. We are going to be part of the same mission and ministry unit, Mark's Tay, Oldham, and a few other churches, as well as the new one that I'm going to called St. Albright's. So I'm hoping for a little bit of, you know, cross-fertilization, as it were, just being able to share with one another different things that we do well here and that they do well there. But obviously today I'm thinking about, what is it that I really want to leave with you? What is it that I want to say that is on my heart for you today? And this passage, John chapter 15, starting at verse 9, is a very special passage to me. And that's because it was the passage that we thought about, that we had talks on, that we meditated on, that we prayed on in my retreat just before I was ordained as a deacon, just before I preached my first sermon here, which was in June 2016. And it's a little section of what we call in that part of John's Gospel the farewell discourses, the farewell conversations, because these are the conversations that Jesus had when he was saying goodbye to his disciples. The first couple of chapters, it starts at 13, chapter 13 and 14, he was talking to his disciples in the upper room, that Last Supper, you know about it. Then, you probably know, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and during the time they were walking from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, this is where John chapter 15 comes. So he was telling his disciples these things. He knew that he was going to the cross to die. He knew that this was his final time with them. Of course, he was going to talk about the things that most mattered to him. And so they got to Gethsemane. Chapter 17 is where he prays his prayer of intercession. The whole of chapter 17 is a prayer for the disciples. And for not just the disciples that walked with him then, but the disciples that were coming, that's you and me. And he prayed from his heart for those people, as I do for you when I'm praying for you. So what really matters? I'm certainly not going somewhere like serious across to die, no. Not yet anyway. But I am going just across the A12 and Stanway. I mean, Stanway seems very tame, doesn't it? But it's the new place that God's given me. So I'm, I guess, saying goodbye. And these are the three things, the three truths that I'd like you to hold in your hearts. The first is this. Know that you are loved. If you can go to the beginning of this passage, please, Tim. You are loved by God with an everlasting love. And it says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Isn't that beautiful? So, we don't love on our own. We love because we've been kept by the love of God. The Message, you can take it off the screen now. Thank you, Tim. The Message puts it this way. The Message is another translation of the Bible, a really accessible one. It says, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Remember, this is Jesus talking. I have loved you the way that my Father has loved me. And he says, make yourselves at home in my love. Don't you think that's beautiful? Be comfortable. Make yourselves at home in the love of the Father. And this is the point. If we had a very small inkling, even the tiniest inkling, of the way that the Father loved the Son, we'd also have a tiny inkling of the way that Jesus loves us, wholeheartedly, unconditionally, with no reserves. Remember that young man with his little baby? That father who loved his child? God loves us even more than that. How do we know? Well, you see, God chose us. He found us. He rescued us from sin. He rescued us from death. And he gave his life as a ransom for me and for you. You might have been here last week. I challenge you. Can you remember the gospel reading? It wasn't actually the reading that Tim preached on, but the gospel reading was about a lost coin, lost sheep. And you might not know it, but after the lost sheep and the lost coin parables comes the lost or prodigal son parable. You know the parable of the prodigal son. Everybody knows the parable of the prodigal son. And what happened when that son who had squandered all his father's wealth came down the road towards the father's house? The father ran. He put his arms out. He hugged his son. He welcomed his son home, no matter the things that he'd done wrong, no matter the things he'd done right. God embraced him. God loved him. God could not rejoice enough that his son had come home. I'm saying God because in the parable, the father is symbolic or an allegory of God. His father loved him. So God loves us. He redeemed us and he is at work in our lives today by his Spirit. He longs for us to come to him with whatever is on our hearts. John 15 verse 13 says this, greater love has no man, has no one, has no person than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. How does the Message version put it? This is the very best way to love, it says. Put your life on the line for your friends. If only we had an inkling of how much the Father loves us, we would trust him to give us good things, and we would ask him for the things that are really close to our hearts. When my eldest daughter Amy was very ill, I was totally powerless to do anything about it, anything to help make her well, and anything to help make her want to be well. The only thing I could do was to bring her to our Father's love, to pray that he would shine his love and his mercy and his grace and his healing into her life. He loves her. He loves her even more than I, as a mother, love her. And so, as he loved her, and as that period of time went on with treatment, he shone his life and his light and his love in her heart, and he brought her healing. So don't forget, God's love for you is complete and absolute, utter. He says, abide in my love. Soak up my love. Soak yourselves in my presence. Remain in my love. Make yourselves at home in the love of the Father. Don't forget it. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, and Tim, if you would turn to the second part of the reading, which is John chapter 15, quite close to the end, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You see, you're not only loved, but you're chosen. You're not chosen just to do nothing, to languish, to be fruitless. You're chosen to go and bear fruit. Not fruit that will rot, fruit that will last. Fruit that will be used for other people's lives. I don't know if you've noticed, but this season, this year, the fruit trees have been so laden with fruit in Colchester anyway. Well, mine has, and I know that other people's have, because people have given me plums and apples, and they've said, you know, we've got so much fruit, we don't know what to do with it. That's the way that God gives us fruitfulness. Not just a little bit, in abundance. What does it mean, though, to say that you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last? Of course, we are not really trees, are we? So what is he talking about? Bearing fruit. I can't bear fruit. Well, let me just take you back a little bit, that this passage comes in the middle of John chapter 15, as you know, and the beginning of John chapter 15 says it's the seventh of Jesus' I am sayings. It says, I am the vine, Jesus talking, and you are the branches. My Father is the gardener. Do you remember that? And it says this, all those people who he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Oh, ouch. Pruning? Really? It's not fun, is it, when you're going through times of pain and you feel like, well, I'm not fruitful at the moment because I'm not even coping with what I've been given to cope with. But we need pruning in the same way as a fruit tree needs pruning, because after the pruning, we can bear more fruit. It's necessary. So each of you has been planted in the place that you're in, with the community that's around you, with the family that you've got, with the work that you go to. Peter's lovely testimony about sharing that dream with his boss. That's bravery, and that's something God has given him to do. Only he could do it. I know Tim shared too about the times that in his work he's been able to talk to people. I know that people have told me about times that they've been able to chat over the fence with their neighbor, think about their neighbor's needs. God needs you to say to him, I know you love me, I know you've planted me just here at this time in my life, and I know that even though sometimes it feels like I'm being pruned, your plan is that I bear much fruit because I've been chosen. You've chosen me to bear fruit, fruit that will last, fruit that I can share with other people, fruit that is nourishment for other people, and fruit that people might enjoy the time with us and with the God who is in our lives. Do you know what God has called you specifically to do? If you do, do it with all your heart. If you don't, ask God to show you what it is that he specifically wants you to do, where he wants to plant you, where he wants you to bear fruit. So first, foundation, know yourself to be loved. Second, I have chosen you to go and bear fruit. And the third thing I want to say, and this comes up in the passage as well. How many times does this come up? Well, specifically, twice. My command is this, verse 12. Love each other as I have loved you. In verse 17, it comes up again. This is my command. Love each other. Command is mentioned 5 times in those 8 verses. But just in case we weren't quite sure of what God's command was, well, he spells it out. Jesus spells it out. Love one another, just as I have loved you. You might think that's impossible because you're thinking, I don't know the person out there that really gets under your skin. You're thinking, I don't know about the person that's really hurt you. And you're probably right, I don't know, but God does. So he's calling us to love one another, not just the nice people, but also the people that we don't perhaps get along with so well. Why? Because it's through loving one another that the church is built, that God's family works together, and that we're able to care for one another when we each go through different times, like Helen shared about her daughter and the way that the family of God just came around her. They were loving her. They were loving her. They told her so. They were praying for her. It's not a passive love. It's an active love. It's not a feeling gooey kind of love. It's not a romantic kind of love. No, it's a kind of love that puts your life on the line or lays down your life for your friends. It can be costly in terms of time. And sometimes, as Andrew shared, it can be costly in terms of money as well. But what a blessing it is to give to people in this way. So last week, it was a week of a lot of visiting, a lot of listening, a lot of spending time with people that I love in this parish. I never have enough time. But if we each spend time with those we love together, together we have enough time. And I can tell you this, I am so warmed and proud of the way the people in this church demonstrate their love for one another. I know there's families here who are hurting, and our community touch them in different ways, by kind words maybe, kind deeds, such as a lift here or there, a meal perhaps, a listening ear, a visit, a bunch of flowers, a cup of coffee, a hug. Being part of the family of God is a wonderful thing in a world where so many people look to other things, alcohol, shopping, possessions, to fill a gap in their lives. Jean Vanier said this, and it was tweeted twice, once by the Church of England and again by Chelmsford, and I read it on the 19th of September, just this week. It was actually the date of my dad's birthday, had he been alive to celebrate it. And it says this, community, this is what Jean Vanier said, he spent his life on behalf of those who were disabled in mind and body. He said, community is a sign that love is possible, even in this materialistic world. Our community of Mark's Tay is a sign that God's love and our love for one another is possible, even in the world that we live in. Brothers and sisters, love one another as Christ has loved you. You will be known as Christians by your love. And so, as I say goodbye to you, hold on to these three truths. You are loved by God with an everlasting love. You are chosen by God to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And Jesus says, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. Amen.
So let's just reflect for a moment on those three truths that Wendy has highlighted for us this morning. Know that you are loved by God. Make yourselves at home in his love. Abide in his love. You are chosen to go and bear fruit. Just where we are, planted in our family, our community, our workplace, fruit that will be used for other people's lives. And Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So in a moment we're going to sing this song, but I'm going to read the words. Because it's only in the presence of God that we can ever love in the way that God allows us or wants us to love. So be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of light. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Let us stand to sing.